I love that kid. I saw that. There was this television show that used to come on that was called Different Strokes with a little kid. Just reminded me of him so much. But I love that kid. But it's quite obvious what that child loves, right? He loves his mom. He honestly must love his mom. He gave her some great advice. Put down your phone. Stop cleaning. Cool it on the meatloaf. Have fun. Hug more, shout less. There were a few other things that he suggested in there, but I'll leave those out. But some of those that moms can relate, because moms sometimes feel like they're slightly unappreciated. But I think that's maybe because we don't understand what it takes to be a mom. You know, when I was a kid, I guess they still use this poem. I don't know if it's still cool or not, but they used to have this little thing. What are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. And then, of course, what are little boys made of? Snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. And I don't understand why the guys got to be made of all the bad stuff, but that's okay. I'm good with that. But we have these ingredients that we usually attribute to males and females. And, you know, there's some ingredients that it takes to be a mom. It just doesn't happen overnight. Now, maybe if we're going to understand it, first you better understand what a mom is. We have this discussion every year amongst ladies. Some ladies say, I'm not a mom. Well, maybe if you started looking at the definition and you really understood what a mom is, maybe you would feel a little differently. You see, a mom could be a noun, a woman that in a relationship to a child or children whom they have given birth. Now, that's the most straightforward definition. You have birthed the child into existence. You definitely qualify as mom. Maybe it's a definition that looks like this. A term to address for a female parent or woman having or regarded as having the status of function of authority of a female parent. So maybe this means that you didn't actually give birth to the child, but maybe you adopted a child. Maybe you're a foster parent. Maybe it's the person, the little kid that lives down the street from you, and that child doesn't really have parents that pay attention to them, and so you kind of act as a female authority figure to that. That could be a mom. Did you know that a mom could be a verb? Mother also means give origin or rise to. That means, you know, we mother projects into being. It means we pay attention to the details. We put the pieces together. You've heard somebody call somebody a mother hen because they take the things that are in their life and they kind of guide them into giving rise, giving acceptance to. Mother can mean to care for or protect or act maternally towards. So that means you don't even have to have a child to be a mom. Maybe you act maternally toward your own mother now. It's amazing. As you get older, you kind of switch roles. And, you know, you become the mom to your own mother at some point in your life. It just kind of happens if you're a female. Maybe it's you've got another person in your life, and they need somebody to take care of their needs, and so you are mothering them. So this message really isn't just about those that have given birth, but I want to talk about what it takes to take on the role of mothering, because it's kind of important. And if we're going to talk about this, we're going to go back to our wonderful law that I paid tribute to earlier. Remember, I told you throughout the year we're going to drop back in on this wall and look at people that we've talked about during that first sermon series when we talked about the Hall of Faith. And today we're going to go back and we're going to talk about the only female that made the wall. We're going to talk about Rahab. Now, again, this is not what I would call the ideal role model. If I was going to pick somebody out of the Bible to say, please live your life like this person, she's not the one I pick. After all, Rahab started her life as, well, no other way to put it, she was a pagan prostitute. And the only thing that she really did to get things started was she was the one that saved those spies. She rescued those spies. She hid them and let them go. But, of course, she wasn't doing that because she was looking to rescue spies. She was doing it because she was trying to save her own skin and the skin of her family. And so she was making a deal to attribute to herself. But you know what? She became a woman of faith. She made this wall based on that one act. It was the only thing she was given credit for. So here she is. But she also made another wall. We discussed this when we discussed her story. She made Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. If you're not familiar with what that is, that's the lineage of Christ. That's the people that they gave credit to getting Jesus into this world. And this is what it says. It says, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And then Jesse begat David. And then David begat Solomon. And then there was a lot of begatting going on. And eventually we begat Joseph, who was the earthly father of Jesus. So Rahab is kind of important. She has this idea. She's not just any mother. She is the great-great-grandmother of none other than King David. And you know what? We're going to head to her story today, but not the one in Joshua. We're going to go a couple of generations down the road. We're going to take a look at this young lady named Ruth. That would be her granddaughter, Ruth. And Ruth's story is found none other than the book of Ruth. So if you have your copy of God's Word, you begin making your way to the book of Ruth. We're going to be in one spot for the whole Sunday today. So if you want to turn that way and follow along, please feel free to do so. But we're not going to really talk about Ruth so much. We're going to talk about this other lady. This lady called Naomi. Now, Naomi's an interesting character because Naomi lived an interesting life. And I believe today if we begin to walk along and we begin to look at Naomi, we will indeed see the ingredients that you need to have a mother. What does it take? And we're going to begin in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. And this is what it says. In the days when the judges ruled, so we are still in that time when there is no king in Israel. There are these judges that God has raised up to kind of look over the nation. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. I didn't name these people, by the way. They were Ephraites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab to live there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons, Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. First thing we find out about a mother is she's got to have a lot of internal strength. Could you just imagine what this lady was going through? Here they were living in Bethlehem, and all was good, and all was right with the world, and she had the little house, and the white picket fence, and the two kids, and the husband. Maybe they had a dog. I don't know what they had as far as pets go. But all was good, but then famine hits. You know, there's probably nothing worse in the world. I cannot tell you I've ever experienced this than watching your child go hungry. So they make a decision as a family. They're going to do the economic move, and they're going to leave Bethlehem, and they go down to Moab, and they set up shop in Moab, and they've been there for a while, and Naomi's husband dies. So here she is in a strange land with two sons, who are probably adults at this point. And so the two sons, though, they get married, and they have these two Moabite wives. They're not Israelites. And well, both her sons die. I couldn't imagine what would be going through Naomi's mind. Oh my goodness, you lose not only your husband, but you get to bury both of your children. But she's a mom. And if anyone had had a reason to crawl up under a rock at that point, it would have been Naomi. But you know what? Moms sometimes have to make some hard decisions. This is what it says in verses 6 through 14. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of the people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back to each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and me, to your dead husbands and me. May the Lord grant each of you the will, make the will to find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept out loud and said, "We will go back with you and to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons who become your husbands. Return home, my daughters." Notice how her term here changes. "I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought I would still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because I know the Lord has turned against me." And then he wept out again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. You get this picture. You have three widows. And I want you to catch that while she's a good mom, Naomi is struggling, as she should. She's lost a husband and two sons. She even blames God for what's going on in her life. "It is more bitter for me than you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." She saw what was going on in her life as some kind of punishment that God was pouring out on her. She was not perfect. But folks, she was a mom. See, there were these obligations that had to go on when you began to think about what was going under. These two women under the law were obligated to take care of her. They were. They had married the sons, and since the sons were gone, they now had to look at Naomi as a mother. So she could have played this. Naomi could have played her card right and, wait for them to be married again. She'd be set. She'd be taken care of. But I want you to see in these hard decisions that mom makes, looking out for oneself is not what mothers did. I can remember, I think I've shared this story before, but it just sticks in my mind. I was such a little kid, and when I tell my mom this story, she just really can't believe I remember this. They used to have these things called the Fireman's Fair. Does anybody remember those? It's where they used to do the things to raise money for the volunteer fire department. They would bring a carnival to town, like these little rides, and you'd go out, and you'd have to buy tickets to buy the rides, and you'd ride, and you ride, and you ride. Well, they also had things there for older adults. They had, like, bingo games. My mom loves to play bingo. And I remember going to one of these firemen's fair. You know, you have the little rides. All they do is go around in a circle. They don't go up and down. They're not roller coasters. They just go around in a circle. And I remember riding rides and riding rides and riding rides and riding rides until all the tickets were gone. And there were no more tickets. But, you know, I was a kid. I still wanted to ride. So my mom used her bingo money to buy more tickets so I could keep riding. She had decided she wasn't going to look out for what she wanted to do. She decided in a very real way to look out for her children. Because that's what mothers do. Now, as you continue looking at this, you have to understand, she releases them from their obligation. She tells them, "I'm not going to hold you accountable. Go back to your own mother's house. Find yourself new husbands. Forget all about me. Forget about what is happening. Be happy." How many times has your mother done this for you, or that special lady in your life? You've made promise, and you know what? You know what you're supposed to do, but mom kind of lets you go about your own decision. She doesn't always hold you fast and steady to the law. In verse 15, we discovered when you look up at her, she had to offer, when she went home, Naomi decided to stick with her. Ruth stayed. When she made the offer, "You two go home," one of them said, "You know what? I'm going to stay put." Now, you'd think that'd make her happy, but she really wanted to go home because mom was looking out for her. Mom wanted her to go and be happy. But since Ruth decided to stay, Naomi changed her role from just looking at Ruth as a mother-in-law, just a daughter-in-law, just that relationship, "I love my son." She actually took this girl under her wing, and she began to nurture her as a mom. As we get to Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, we find out that as a mom, you sometimes have to give room to grow. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, Let me go into the fields and pick up leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Now Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out into the field and began to glean from behind the harvesters. And it turned out she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvest, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. Now, even in this section, we find out something about Naomi. She's now back in Jewish country under Jewish laws. That means now not only is this woman Ruth supposed to take care of her, she now kind of has, she's obligated to do the things that Naomi says. Now, you have to know, Ruth was obviously pretty. After all, here she is out here gathering wheat, and Boaz comes along, he's like, who's the new girl gathering the wheat? I want to know who this girl belongs to. So she's obviously pretty. And you know, by law, since Boaz was related to them, Naomi could have jumped the gun here. She could have forced Ruth into a relationship with Boaz. She would have been totally lawful in doing that. And keep in mind, Boaz is rich. Boaz has got harvesters. Boaz has got people working for him. So the mom in Naomi could have said, you are there to serve me, but that's not what a mom does she? Instead, she does the thing that moms often do. She provided for her child. Now, she didn't provide financially. She provided in a way that a lot of people do not like the way moms provide, but I just want you to look at the way moms provide for their children. She asked questions. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you go? Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Here comes Ruth home, and obviously something has happened, and she comes in, and it was almost like mama saying, how was your day? How did things go? Meet anybody new? What did you do at lunch? How are things going? Then it's usually moms that do this. They take an interest in their life just by asking questions. Now, I have to be honest with you. Sometimes we get tired of the questions, but moms will continue to ask because it's what they're supposed to do. They're trying to figure out what it is that you need. What is it that you need provided for you? What can I help you with? And the only way they can do that is, well, they ask questions. They encouraged. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. She encouraged her, stay in Boaz's field. Don't go somewhere else. You don't have to look anywhere else. I am going to encourage you to go out and continue to work for this man. Continue to work with these ladies. She is encouraging them to take a path that is better. Sometimes our life would be a lot better off if we'd listened to mom. Sometimes we've made decisions and mom has encouraged us to do one thing and we've chosen a different path, and lo and behold, it don't always turn out so good. But you need to understand the reason they ask the questions, the reason that they're encouraging you is because they actually care. This is what we find out here. Now, I want you to note very specifically, she is unconcerned about herself. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law Naomi said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be provided for. Now, you notice what's missing in that statement. She's not concerned about finding a home for herself. She's only worried about finding a home for that person she considers her child, that person whom she has been mothering all along. And she looks at her wife and she says, you know what, I'm not going to be here forever. I'm not going to be able to be here forever and give you advice. I'm not going to be here forever. I've got to find a place for you. I've got to find a home where you can grow and be cared for. And I think a lot of times we miss that. That's what moms are still doing today. That hasn't changed at all. Kids won't go to college, and it's mom that's always, so who you dating? Who you looking at? What's going on? Tell me all about the person. Tell me about the parents. Tell me about the grandparents. Tell me about the kid they hung out with when they were in elementary school. Tell me all about the mom wants to know everything. Why? because she's looking for a good home for you. She understands at that point there's going to be some point in her life where she can't take care of you, and she wants to be sure you are taken care of. That's what moms do. That's how it works. And then she does the wonderful thing that all kids love. Oh yeah, she gives advice. Don't you love mom advice? Not really. Well, at least not at the moment. Maybe 20 years down the road it makes more sense, but this is what happens in verse 2 and 4. Now Boaz, with those women, you have worked in the relative of... Try this again. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Wash and put on perfume and get dressed in your best clothes. Now you get what she's saying, right? Go take a bath. Smell nice. Pick out the outfit that you think makes you look the best. Put on some perfume so you smell really nice. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down and note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Now, I got to tell you, I don't get to laying down in a man's feet. Not there for me, but apparently this is some kind of a cultural custom thing, that if you were interested in a guy, this is what you did. This is part of the dating ritual under Jerusalem. I don't know. I don't get it. But you get what Naomi's doing. She's giving her sound advice. Hey, look, if you're interested in Boaz, let me tell you how to catch the guy. If you're interested in hanging out with Boaz, if that's who you're interested in, let me help you. She gives her advice, and moms still do that, don't they? Sometimes the advice is unsolicited. Sometimes it's unwelcome. Sometimes it's unwanted. But you know what? You're still going to get the advice. But I have to give Ruth credit, because she gives the words that every mom longs to hear right there in verse 5. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. Man, moms, wouldn't you love to have that for your Mother's Day present? Whatever you say, that's what we're going to do today. Whatever advice you give me, I'm going to take it. But you understand what's happened, don't you? Naomi has taken such good care of Ruth. Naomi has looked after Ruth so much, she can see the honesty in Naomi, that Ruth is willing to say, you know what? If that's what you think I should do, whatever you think, well, that's what I'll do. Now, that's all well and good on the relationship side. But you do realize that's another whole side that we don't usually give credit for moms. You see, Naomi, she was a shrewd woman. Naomi knew how the financial world worked also. This is what it says in Ruth chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, sit here. And they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to her, our relative, Elimelech. Now, there's some things that you need to know. Naomi has decided to kindle this relationship along, that she's going to put a piece of property up for sale. Now, you have to realize, she's an Israelite, she's a Jew, and the land that she's putting up for sale was family property. It would be like you selling the old homestead place. Except for under Jewish law, there was a requirement that if somebody in your family put up a piece of property, and you were the guardian redeemer, which means you were the eldest male with financial means, you were obligated to buy that piece of property. Because the property had to stay in the family tree. It couldn't be sold anywhere else. You were obligated. So Boaz isn't the oldest man. And he probably isn't the richest man. So he pulls everybody together and says, hey, did you know? Naomi's going to sell a piece of property. Well, you realize what Naomi's doing, right? She's kind of baiting the trap a little bit. You see, Naomi knows the law. Then Boaz Then Boaz said, on the day that you buy the land for Naomi, you also require Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. See, it was a package deal. Whoever bought the land also got Ruth. Ruth came with the deal. Now, you do realize somebody's missing from the picture here, right? For that to work, Naomi had to take the back seat. She had to name Ruth as the owner of the property, not herself. See what moms do?
Moms sometimes take their own needs and they totally wash them away because she wants us to. They want us to understand that, you know what? It's important. It's important. I'm going to look out for you. And the good news is, Naomi's a pretty smart character because Boaz buys. As a matter of fact, he oversteps and he becomes the guardian redeemer. And it says, "Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, 'Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's wife, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the hometown. Today you are my witness.'" Man, what a cool story. Naomi stepped out there and she put Ruth ahead of her. Boaz ends up buying the property, and he doesn't want the property. What does he want? He's interested in Ruth. Because Naomi had done such a stellar job of being such a great mother to Ruth, now Ruth is able to live as Boaz's wife. Of course, now you can go back to the beginning, right? So Ruth and Boaz have a child. His name is Obed. Then Obed has a child. His name is Jesse. And Jesse has a child. His name is David. So because of this loving mother and the way that she approached life, you understand, Ruth went from being somebody that lost a husband to being somebody in the very lineage of Christ. All because mom knows best. This is what verse 13 and 14 says. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love with her, the Lord enabled them to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, 'Praise the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become as famous throughout Israel.'" Man, don't we love it? This would be a story worthy of Disney. We have a happy ending. You see, it says, "Then Naomi took the child in her arms," and look at this. Now she's a grandma and cared for him. We know what that looks like, right? Here we go again, next generation. Now we have grandma, and guess what grandma's going to do? Grandma is going to be asking questions, and grandma's going to be giving advice, and grandma's going to be doing all the things that mom did, and this is the way generations work. Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. See, what it takes to be a mom isn't necessarily that you gave birth. What it takes to be a mom is that you have to be willing to pour your life into another. Women are much better than that, God. I just want to say that. Women do it better. We want to make sure we remember the same thing. There are many of us here today that we would not be standing where we are in our life had it not been for some lady in our past that poured herself out for us. That is the reason we have mothers. Is that one day out of the year that we would put our lives on pause and we would begin to think about who the people are in our life that have changed our life. Inevitably, you'll come back to there is some lady in your life that makes a difference. I'd like to encourage you today. Now that we understand what it is a mother does, and even though sometimes it exasperates us, we just understand it's exasperating to have somebody always look, we don't understand. They're not doing it because they get some great thrill out of it. They're doing it because they love us. So let me encourage you today. Take a little time and understand what it is mom really does for you, what are the ingredients it takes to be a mom. And remember to thank the ladies in your life for what it takes for them to be a mom to you. We're going to sing a song of, I guess we're going to call it a song of decision. We really haven't done a standard gospel-style message today, but there are some things that we can think about as we sing this song. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been as grateful as you need to be about the mom in your life. You realize maybe this is an opportunity for you to go to that person and say, you know what? Thanks, Mom. Maybe your mom is no longer with us, but you know what? You can still use this time to thank God for the mom that's in your life. There are people in our world every single day that make such a difference. Would you please stand and we're going to pray?